Welcome to GVN's Talking Comics Interview, your GVN home for what's happening in comics. On today's show, we welcome the founders of Colossal Studios, Andrew Moody, David Cunningham, and Al Moore, the creative team behind the new anime series, Gabriel and the Guardians. Now here's your host, Martin Sexton.
Welcome to another edition of GVN Talking Comics. I am your host, Martin, and today we have the pleasure of talking to the founders of Colossal Studios and the creators of an exciting upcoming new anime series, Gabriel and the Guardians. So let's welcome Jason Moody, David Cunningham, and Albert Moore to GVN's Talking Comics. Thanks for sharing a bit of your time, guys. How are we doing today?
Good.
Yeah,
thanks so much for having us.
All right, excellent. Okay, so like I said, before we delve into our discussion about Gabriel, I want to give you an opportunity to kind of talk about yourselves. And I'm going to start with you, Jason. Okay, you have 15 years of experience in content creation. And so what initially sparked your interest in this field? And were there any artists or creators or perhaps a mentor who inspired you along the way?
Yeah. So I really started just from as a kid, you know, being really into cartoons, watching Dragon Ball and watching you know, any of the, you know, a lot of the 90s cartoons that everybody loves, X-Men and Spider-Man and Batman animated series and Eek the Cat and all that. And you know, as a kid does, you if you like to draw, you start coming up with your own characters, coming up with your own stuff. And so I just had, you know, sketchbooks, you know, full, you know, every year was another sketchbook to fill. And you know, dream, you know, just in my mind, I'm like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to grow up and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to make cartoons, you know, that's what I'll do. And being from the Midwest, that is not an easy task, especially if you're not all that interested in moving to a coast, you know, in the 90s. And so trying for a little bit to try to make it happen and did a foray in comics, had a book called Scarlet Veronica in the mid 2000s that was a published by Ape Entertainment, an indie publisher, you know, around that time. There were a lot of them. And so I had this book that was in comic shops and did the whole thing, went and did, you know, comic book conventions and at that time Wizard Worlds, like did all the Wizard Worlds. And after after like 2 years of doing this, there was no money. It was just like, I remember asking the publisher, like, or the editor, like, all right, when do we get a check at some point? And he was like, no. He's like, we've covered the cost of printing these books. That's about as good as it's going to get. And he's like, that's a success. And I was like, oh man, I'm in the wrong thing. And so I started to look at doing media, you know, rich media for the web, animation and things like that. Started doing little freelance jobs, eventually was able to get into e-learning and went to JP Morgan Chase. And I was there for, you know, 14, 15 years building like high-end sort of interactive training and things like that, you know, doing like AR, VR and different things like that. But when COVID hit, after doing that for a long time and being pretty comfortable with it and being like, this is cool, it's good, you know, just making decent money and all that, and then COVID hit and got really bored because like work really slowed down. Even though I was still there full time, it was just like, man, it was like there's not a lot of work to do right now, guys, just, you know, log in basically was like the mandate for almost a year. Just make sure you log in, you know. And you know, idle minds, right? You start to dream and you start to think about things. And I started drawing, you know, like I hadn't really sketched in a long time, so I like bought a sketchbook and started sketching. And was listening to, me and my wife were listening to this podcast called The Bible Project, and goes into really cool, like a really cool look at particularly the one that we were listening to was about Genesis, just a really cool, like historical sort of take on the writer, you know, the writers of Genesis and the cultures that are represented in Genesis, and this sort of, you know, what was an antediluvian world like, you know, because the first few chapters, you know, are, you know, taking place with this character Noah, right? And it's taking place in this sort of proto Mesopotamia, right? And man, I was just fascinated by it because it hits this point where they start talking about giants, you know, Genesis 6, as in the days of Noah, there were giants that walked the earth and they were the offspring of the watchers, the fallen watchers and human women. And it's like, that's fascinating. I didn't hear that in Sunday school. You know what I mean? Like giants during the story of Noah. But there I was, you know, plain as ink on the page. And I mean, that just made me start to imagine like what would that look like? And, you know, again, growing up watching Trigun and Dragon Ball Z and, you know, Tenchi Muyo and Cowboy Bebop, I was like, man, it would be really cool to try to interpret some of these tales, you know, some of these legends and I some of these characters, right? Like, of course you got Noah, but then you've got like Gabriel, the archangels, right? And they show up in the Book of Enoch, which is kind of a Second Temple accompanying text to Genesis. And so I'm just imagining this stuff when I start drawing these characters. And eventually I've got basically the beginnings of kind of a pitch idea. I didn't really know that's what I had until I just started looking around like, what can I do with this thing, you know? And saw some people talking about pitch decks and different things like that. And so I did my best to create a pitch deck for this thing and started just sending it out to people, you know what I mean? Like cold, like just got on LinkedIn, messaging anybody who I could find that I thought was like, oh, that's a producer of something that kind of looks cool. And, you know, that's a show that is similar to this thing that I'm making. I'll send that producer my pitch and see if they'll look at it. And I had a lot of people that were like, no, you know what I mean? Or didn't respond at all. But eventually, you know, you knock on enough doors, right? And eventually someone is silly enough to open for you and you're like, ah, it's you, you know, let me in. And so I got a guy that did, a producer, awesome, just an awesome guy, who was just very gracious and totally was willing to look at the pitch deck I made. And he was like, look, I can't do this as, you know, an official, he's like, I'm just a guy looking at your thing that has some experience and I'll give you some notes. I was like, dude, that's all I'm looking for, you know? And, but he did call me back. He messaged me and he said, hey, here's my phone number. I want you to give me a call. I mean, it was like 10 minutes after I sent him my pitch deck and I got on a call with him and he was like, what, you know, what shows have you worked on? And I was like, I haven't worked on any shows. I don't know, man. I work at Chase, you know, I work at a bank. And he was like, you haven't worked on any shows or anything. And he was like, no. Or I was like, no, I haven't. And he was like, dude, this is a really good pitch deck, man. He's like, I think you're onto something. And
I was going to say, actually, funny enough, when my phone just started ringing, that's who was calling me.
Oh, for real? That's funny. Yeah. So there's more to this story. What's weird is this guy, so talking about mentors, this guy, awesome, just gracious, had no reason to help me at all, but started helping me and started helping me take that pitch and make it even better. And then eventually he mentioned a guy. I was like, I'm looking for a writer, you know, I need someone to help me write this thing. He was like, you know what, I know somebody. And he gave me the name David Cunningham, and I reached out to him cold. Oddly, he didn't even make the introduction. He just told me Dave, and I was like, I'm gonna go check out, find David. And I messaged him on LinkedIn, and that's sort of where the story turns over to David, I would say.
Speaking of ways, I don't know how you're gonna follow that, Dave. since we did turn it over to you, I said, you know, you had over 7 years of experience in television animation. So what inspired you to pursue work in television animation as a career, and whose work motivated you to pursue that goal?
I think a little bit similar to Jason. I was about 7 years old. I was about 7 years old when I watched my first anime, and it was a pretty adult anime. It was a Vampire Hunter D, the 1980s Vampire Hunter D. And I was just like blown away because first of all, I was like, whoa, you can do this in cartoons. You know, that kind of blew me away. And also, I mean, I was a little kid, so I didn't really exactly know what I was like looking at, but I loved the 2D animation style. I've always loved 2D. And I started, you know, getting into like shows like Dragon Ball and Inuyasha and Gundam Wing and then like also like Studio Ghibli films, like Miyazaki's work. I love his work. I've got four kids now myself, and I think we've watched My Neighbor Totoro like 50 times. And so I've always loved 2D animation. And in 2014, I'd been working retail actually for a pretty long time. I was kind of just like not exactly sure where I was going and stuff. And so I'd been working retail, and I decided, well, I mean, I guess I decided in 2007 that I wanted to go into film. And it took me 7 years to finish my undergraduate degree, save money for grad school. I got married in between that, had a kid in between that, and then finally went to grad school in 2014 for film producing. And then I started working, and then I got a job working where Al was, at Superbook, as an assistant. And I started there in 2015. And then, yeah, Jason Cold messaged me in January of 22. And when he so when Jason was saying that he messaged me, he messaged me, and he said, "Hey, I heard you're a good writer." And I just messaged him back, and I said, "Who told you that?" So I had no idea who he was or where he was coming from. And I'm a little bit of a skeptical person, and so
Really? You?
yeah, I know. And so, but yeah, Jason and I started talking, and we started. I started working on a script in my spare time with him. And I was it took me a while to be convinced that this was going to be a good thing. but eventually I was like, okay, this might be going somewhere. And so at that point, I contacted Al. And that's where, yeah, Al, do you want to say
All
how you
right,
got
that's where I'll come
Now,
in.
and do the thing without now.
Right. Okay. See, now, of course, Al had me when I was looking back at him with his work with Disney, because I'm of course a big Disney fan, and he worked on Brother Bear, which I'm also a big Aaron Blaze fan. So
Oh,
he had me with that.
I might know that guy.
Truth be known, I've been trying to reach out to the man to try to get him to talk to me, but I'm assuming right no answer is a no, so I have that hasn't worked out. But anyway,
Have you tried creature art teacher? Have you tried reaching out
yeah,
through there?
I've got about 15 of his classes from there.
Oh, nice.
And I have reached out to there, but he's a busy man. So, but that doesn't mean I won't quit, because my editor in chief always told me, said all the worst they can tell you is no. I said in his case it was nothing at all, which hey, it's not a rejection. So it's all
That's
right.
true.
Okay, so like I said, so I also I was talking about what some of the work you did. Well, so who were the creators that motivated you in your early stages of animation?
So yeah, animation for me was a is an interesting path, because a lot of people want to get into animation from the beginning. Like I've been drawing, and kind of like Jason was talking about, I made my own little comic books and stuff when I was like 6 and 7, and I've been drawing all the way through high school. And I actually got away from drawing for a while, because I was like, everything in school was like, oh, Al can draw this, Al can draw that, Al can do this, Al can do. There was always every art thing that had to be done for the school I ended up doing. So for a while there, I actually, when I started college, I was like, forget this art thing. And so I was actually a psychology major, and I was doing fantastically. Actually, I had straight A's, which was great. But then one day I decided, this is not for me. And so I was like, what else can I do? And I was like, well, I did used to draw a lot, so I switched over to graphic design. Anyway, through happenstance, Disney opened the MGM Disney MGM Studios in 89. I happened to be in college in 89, and they had some opportunities to come out there to actually, when they were just laying it all out, to see what it was going to look like with artists working in Disney animation. And so a bunch of us from the school, they contacted all the colleges around for any artists who wanted to come out and just draw at the desks, so that the Imagineers could walk through and see what it would look like for guests to come through an actual working studio. Would it work? Would it make sense? Would they be able to see what was going on? So they had us all lined up in there and drawing and doing all of this stuff. And then what happened was they were working on a show called Rescuers Down Under, and they were also working on Prince and the Pauper. And they had some internships that had come up, so I applied and I got accepted into the internship. And then from there, you know, I just stayed there until they closed the Florida studio. They wanted to move people out to LA and to work in the LA studios when they were switching over on Chicken Little to kind of starting their 3D run. And my wife and I didn't want to do that. And so we just never pursued anything after that. We're like, okay, we're done here. Yeah, I mean, my first anime that I watched was Battle of the Planets. I guess in Japan, I think it was called Gatchaman. And so that's what I started. That was like my first anime that I ever saw. It was on TV. I think it was on Saturday mornings here in the U.S. And that really caught me. And then, of course, like classics like Akira and things like that. Forgot the other one. There was another big film back then that really got me. But yeah, I've been doing 2D. I've been doing 3D for like 30 something years. And, you know, this project, David sent me a script that he had been working on. And he just said, hey, would you take a look at the script? See, tell me what you think about it. So I read through it and I was like, wow, man, this thing is fantastic. You know, and I asked him some questions about it. And then he started to tell me something. I said, hey, hold on. How do I get involved in this? And he said, that's actually why I sent it to you. I wanted to see if you want to get involved in this project. So I was like, yeah, definitely. And I said, it's going to be 2D, right? And he was like, yeah. I was like, thank God. We need to do some 2D. So we need to do some good 2D, you know? So I was like, let's do 2D. But yeah, and then then I'll bring the whole thing full circle to the phone call that I just received from the guy that Jason was talking about. David and I, again, like David said, we were working together on Superbook, and just before the pandemic, or right around there, before everyone had gotten let go and, you know, not let go, but sent home, Jason had sent it in to this person who shall remain unnamed. And, he called us over to his office to look at it, you know, and he was like, hey, look at this thing that I just got. And so we were looking at it, and I was like, at that time, it looked like another huge Japanese IP. I was like, whoa, don't touch that. We're going to get sued if we get involved in that thing. And so, yeah, so, you know, the problem was said his name, the person really liked it, you know? And so he said, well, I'm going to give him some feedback and everything. So he kept on conversing with Jason. Well, come to find out later on when we were all got together and we were discussing stuff, we realized, oh shoot, that was you. You know, when we all finally came together, like that call and that thing he pulled us in his office for was you. Because we were standing, I was standing in the doorway of David's office when I almost said his name again. And that person said, come over here and check this out. So
I remember, it had been like a year that we were working together, I think maybe 6 months before I heard that story. And I love it. I love it because I love that you were like, I don't know about this. Yeah. And now here you are.
Well, and to be honest, it was a whole different project at that time. Sure. It was very early on, and the story was going in a completely different direction than it is today.
It was before, it was really just a concept teaser.
Yeah.
And so as a concept teaser, it was pretty inspired by Attack on Titan. Right. Like I was pretty blatant about it. I was like, I want this to be a show that's like taking a sort of a historical take, you know, and a fantasy historical take to some extent. And, you know, giants. And so I was like, Attack on Titan has giants. I'll look to that as a reference, a little too much perhaps for the concept teaser.
Well, that was like the huge show at the time. Like they were enormous. Sure. And I was like, man, we do not want to touch this because this is not going to go well for us. This IP is huge.
David came in and moved the needle in I think a big way that made it moved it a little more to something that, well, you know, there's still giants and stuff, but I mean, it's a completely different, a very original spin. So, it's cool.
Okay, so I'm curious, David. When Al told you that your thing that you sent him was really good, did you believe him?
Yeah. Al says.
Okay, this brings us to Colossal Studios. Okay, so Jason, what was your main goal in starting your own production company, and how long was that in the making?
So, I mean, it really birthed out of the partnership with these two fine fellows. well, I'll put it this way. It manifested with these fine fellows, and sort of came into the world, right? But I think that the germ was there. I mean, because I've got those old sketchbooks I'm talking about. They literally have Colossal Entertainment written on them when I was, you know, 10 years old. So this idea of being able to create my own thing in my own studio and do create properties and ideas, you know, it goes back, you know, 30 years. But I, you know, it came in a moment when, I had gotten a connection to a production company called Franklin Entertainment, and they really, really, really liked the pitch after our mystery producer friend, mentor, helped me out and sort of got that thing in a place that was, you know, really like he said it was good, but he was like, he helped me get it to a really cool place. And I sent a cold message to a producer named Devon Franklin, and he thought it was cool. He put me in contact with his television production company. And I worked with him for probably 4 or 5 months, further developing the idea. Right around the tail end of that is when I reached out to David, because they were trying to find a writer, a showrunner to come on. And they went through 3 or 4 people and just couldn't find anybody that they felt like got what I was doing and improved what I was doing. We really want to find somebody who can like make it, you know, take what you're doing and make it better. And they're like, every pitch we've heard is just like, it's not better than what you already got. And so that's when I was like, hey man, do you know any writers? And he put me in contact with David, and David came on. And so right around the tail end of this thing with the Franklin Entertainment, that's when they were like, even though they were still trying to find a writer, they started pitching it, and they had, cause they have a first look deal with Paramount Plus, and then they had a connection to Netflix. And so they told me, they were like, look, we got someone to Netflix, our connection to Netflix. They think there's a really cool idea. They want to kind of run it up the ladder at Netflix and get in front of the other executives and see if there's appetite all the way up to the top. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. You know, I was like, what is that? What will that look like? Like, what is that? How, you know, in that world? And they were basically like, look, we're going to be really honest. Like, you've never done anything before. And they're like, so what this will probably look like is, you know, they're going to buy the idea from you, and you're going to bon voyage it to them. And, you know, maybe you'll get a creator credit. And I was like, oh, so I wouldn't be like involved. They're like, probably not. They're like, they've got, entire creative teams internally. They'll buy the IP and, you know, you'll get a credit. And they're like, they'll pay you for it, you know? And I was like, and as my wife and I discussed it and honestly prayed about it, like, we just felt like that wasn't the right move. It was like, man, this thing feels like something I was given to, you know, steward and like bring to life in a way where I'm not just handing off to somebody else. And so yeah, after some deliberation and wisdom seeking, I went back to him. We decided that wasn't the right move. And I told them, I said, hey, I'm really sorry, but I just don't think that that's what I want to do with this. I was like, I really actually think after some thoughts and prayers that I'm supposed to kind of do this on my own, like start my own studio. And they were just kind of like, that's not really how it works. You know what I mean? And they were like, look, good luck. Basically, they're like, if we'll, when you realize that's impossible and you come back, you know, we'll talk again, basically. But you know, at that point, I that's when I really started to connect with David. And then Al came on and we said, let's try it. You know, luckily they had the experience. They had worked in animation for years. I didn't. So I was like, when I told them that, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Like, Lord, you better step in here. But yeah, then these guys showed up and they had all the right experience, all the right tools. And it was just like this perfect thing. And so, you know, I said, you know, it really happened naturally. I think, David, like, we kind of like, after working with each other for a few months, we were like, this works, right? This makes sense. We should like make this official.
Yeah. It was like, we started talking in January, and then it was like, I think it was May or June. It was somewhere around May or June that we were like, things had been going well. And And it was one of those things for me. What was really encouraging was just seeing that we worked well together. Like we were able to both take notes. We were able to both move some, and we were able to, you know, like collaborate, like truly collaborate. Yeah. And that's pretty rare to find real creative, collaborative partner. Because, you know, a lot of times people, you can't mess with their idea. Or they just don't know how to take notes. Like, people can get very sensitive around taking notes. And it was just a really good environment.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Where we were just working together, trying to find the best story, tell the best story, the most exciting story, most entertaining story, find the best characters. How can we make this the coolest it could be, you know? And always having that as the focus allowed us to, really just like, go through and give each other notes and really find, I think, some really great ideas. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so of course, what we're talking about is Gabriel and the Guardians, which is, and I showed it to my grandson, who's 14, and he's a anime geek, so he said it looked really cool. So I said, hey,
oh, good.
We're doing good. Okay.
Cool. So, that's what we're looking for.
Yes. Okay, so could you give me a little synopsis of what the story is about? And one other question, did you ever consider anything but anime for it?
That's a good question.
Maybe you did earlier,
which is interesting because it's not actually my like most natural. I mean, I really started drawing like if you were to look at the comic that I did, it's much more American in its style and more cartoony. Really, I mean, I really come from cartoons, but I don't know why, but anime like that format just felt like it was right. I'm a huge fan of it, obviously. Like, and I'm highly inspired by many animes, but it really felt like that was just the right tone for the story. I think I defer to David to tell, he's our head writer, so I think letting him tell how what this thing's about is probably the right thing.
Well, I mean, and just to follow up with Jason, I always thought of it as being in the style of anime. I always imagined it that way, I guess. So when we started talking about it in real terms, I was like, oh yeah, of course it's going to be like 2D anime, And like we were looking at different shows, like the two shows that we're really drawing most inspiration from are like right now are like Vinland Saga and Attack on Titan, as far as style goes, like just as far as like how the show looks. And we've got a great studio that's working on it. It's looking really awesome. So as far as what Gabriel and the Guardians is about, Gabriel and the Guardians is an epic fantasy series inspired, as Jason said, inspired by ancient Hebrew texts and other Mesopotamian lore. And so what it really is, it's a story about three main characters, Gabriel, Nak, and Amaya. And it's their journey. It's like kind of classic hero's journey. Whoops, I didn't mean to do that. Kind of classic hero's journey of these characters. As they essentially, they all are coming from different places. And it was one of those things where I really love stories like Star Wars, like Lord of the Rings, where you have kind of different characters come together and, for a quest, and they all kind of have, different, very different personalities. And you kind of put them together in a mixer and you get some really fun stuff. So Gabriel and the Guardians is really a story that it's a journey story. And it's about like the basic plot setup is that Gabriel is a celestial guardian who has been guarding Peridem, which is it's a realm in between the mortal realm and the celestial realm. And he's been the guardian of it for 1,000 years, and nothing has ever happened in the past 1,000 years. It's just, it's sealed off. And basically, something, a giant invades Peridem and it steals one of the seed eternal, which is basically this very special seed that is like, you know, you could almost think of it like Jason said before. You can almost think of it like a nuclear bomb. Like it has that kind of energy. So the giant steals the seed. Gabriel chases the giant into the mortal realm, and that's where he meets Nakunamaya, and they go on a quest together. It's a really fun story, but also like, you know, we tackle, you know, serious moments, very comedic moments, you know, I would say very much in the style of like, you know, a lot of anime series where you have like, you know, you have the whole gamut of, it can go from funny to very serious, to dramatic, to just action, you know, all in the same episode. So Jason, you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that's good. I think that, you know, when it comes to the you know, where, what kinds of things is it taking from a story standpoint? What mythologies, what texts is it pulling from? You know, we've said this before. It's inspired and based on both Genesis, loosely, right? It's a loose fantasy interpretation of the Genesis narrative. And then it's also just pulling the mythologies from Near Eastern, ancient Near Eastern cultures, you know, like the Sumerians and the Akkadians, and you know, just blending all that together into a fantasy world that's now inspired by that. Near Eastern mythology.
All right. So when you were developing the series and everything, did you have a specific idea of what you want, what your characters looked like right from the beginning, or did they kind of evolve as you progressed?
I would say they've evolved quite a bit from the initial designs. Yeah. They've come quite a long way, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think we're, you know, I don't know how many iterations of Gabriel we've seen, probably like 20.
Yeah. And then we just did another one recently, and that's the one we landed on. I mean, we had him locked down. I mean, he was looking really, really good, but then there were a few things that one of our overseas distribution, our international distribution partner, was taking a look at it. His background is he kind of brought Naruto from Japan to the world, and also Full Metal Alchemist. And he was looking at it, and he said, we need to make a few more changes to him to get him like right on the money. And so we did that. I mean, we were literally, he was ready to go into production, and we had to tell them, hold on, we got to fix him. We got to change him. So, I mean, we literally changed him up, but now he's ready to go. And he looks awesome. All the other characters look fantastic as well.
Okay. So, you know, so you are working with Tiger Animation and a Robot Playground for this. Do you, I mean, because I'm not familiar with how this works, is turning over a project that you've kind of put your heart and soul in to somebody else to work on, is there any apprehension in that?
I mean, there can be. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if David had something to say, but I mean, the thing for me is like when you're at Disney, right? So you have so many shows that go on one after another. You know, you have Mulan, which looks different from Rescuers Down Under, which looks different from Beauty and the Beast, which looks different from Lion King. They're all in different styles. They're all in different, you know, flavors of even storytelling. But the artists are good enough that they can capture. So it's key that we lock down our character designs and what we want in-house, which is what we do. And then we pass them over to Robot Playground that kind of set up our turns and the things that the animators are going to need to be able to accurately capture those characters and keep them on model. I mean, it's a little nerve-wracking, but at the same time, the studios that we're with, both Robot Playground for pre-production and Tiger/Lion Animation for actual animation production, they're established studios. They've been around, especially Tiger's been around for like 30 years. So there's not a whole, you know, nervousness. I mean, there's nervousness. We can't, like, more of a nervous excitement to see mm-hmm. what it looks like when they send the first scenes in.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for myself, I get excited when we turn things over, because I just can't wait to see what the other artists are going to do with it. You know, like I get really excited. And I guess, I don't know, like I worked with Al on Superbook starting in 2015, and you know, like and I also co-created another series called Gizmo Go, And then I worked on a series called The Wing Feather Saga. And it just becomes kind of like just part of the process, you know, when you go from script to designs to storyboards to animation. It's just another step in the process, you know, and you know that it's going to change some and things are going to look a little bit different and, you know, that kind of thing. But I think that what's exciting is working when you work with really good partners, really good artists, and you send your stuff over and then they send some awesome looking stuff back. And it's just like, oh, that's cooler than what I thought it was going to be, you know, and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, it's really exciting to see this stuff, especially from the early stages. And even one of the studios we tested out early on did some animation for us. And it was really cool to see our stuff moving then. But if you compare that animation to some of the animation we had coming out of Tiger, it's like night and day. I mean, Tiger's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Okay, so because I'm always interested in the creative process, I want to kind of talk a little bit about some of the multiple responsibilities you each have for this show. Okay, so like David, you're the showrunner, producer, and screenwriter for Gabriel. So what kind of responsibilities encapsulates all those different roles?
Well, I think that on an indie show like this, it's not what a typical, you know, show would be. I mean, the thing about like the animation industry or the film industry really is that a producer on one show could be completely different than a producer on another show. You know, even if it was within the same company. But so like, you know, like what I'm doing is probably not normal. But you know, like today, for instance, I've been spending most of my day going through checking assets to make sure that we've named things correctly. that was most of today. But yeah. Like, I guess like my core responsibilities, you know, started off with, okay, how many episodes are we going to make? All right, let's do, you know, traditional kind of like minimum first season, 13 episodes, 22 minutes. 22 minutes is what would be a regular 30-minute broadcast episode because you got 8 minutes for commercials. And so it's like, okay, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do 22 minute episodes by 13 episodes. And so I started off by mapping out, you know, okay, what is the season one going to look like, you know, and just mapping out, okay, what's season one. And then you get season one mapped out and episode by episode, kind of like, okay, this is going to happen this episode, this one. And then you look at season two and season three. And so I've mapped out 5 seasons with some other really talented writers. And then it was, you know, it was a process of bringing in some other freelance writers to help us craft those stories. So like we held a writer's room in June of last year and, you know, brought in the outlines for the episodes. And then we had like a week where we just talked about them and talked, okay, what's good, what's bad, what do we need to change, what do we need to improve, let's get these more detailed. And then we assigned out those episodes to writers, and they went out and they wrote the scripts, and then it comes back to me after they write it. And then I do notes, and we'll go through a couple passes, and then I'll do the last pass myself, or I'll go through and I'll do like a final edit on the script. And then that's finalized. And then once that happens, then we hand it off to designers and to storyboard artists. And then it's overseeing that process and making sure that, oh yeah, like when I wrote this in the script, this is what I meant, so it should look like this. And then the storyboard artist, oh yeah, like, you know, this is what this part should be. So it's like, you know, like the step right after finishing the script is writing a ton of notes, explaining the script for like other artists to like understand it so they can start designing and things like that. And then, you know, we record the voice actors, and all of us have taken turns directing the voice actors and just, you know, getting in there. And I mean, honestly, our voice actors are so great. They don't require a whole lot of direction. They're awesome.
The hardest thing about them is deciding which take.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, which
really
one's the best?
Yeah. That's the biggest thing. We usually get like, you know, when we're doing a voice session, it'll usually be like, give us 3 reads of that line, and then it's like, okay, which one do we like the best for that moment? We usually just, you know, that's usually what it is because they're so good. Our actors are great.
David, I was going to say, are you saying that reviewing legal contracts isn't part of the writer's job?
Yeah, so I do a lot of that.
Yeah, David as well. David's a very smart guy. He does a lot of our contract reviewing.
So yeah, so I mean, like, again, like one of the things being like because we're an indie show, it's you know, we don't have many people, and so you know, I had to write contracts and review contracts and read a lot of legal documents, talk to a lot of lawyers. have had to learn that world. We did a crowdfund, and so I spent, I don't know how many hours talking to multiple attorneys to figure out, okay, what can we do? What can't we do? What can we say? What can't we say? What's legal? What's illegal? All that stuff. So it's been a huge, like, you know, like learning experience for me. Just getting in there and just learning, you know, and it's kind of like all of us, it's kind of like, okay, what does the company need? What does the show need? Okay. And then somebody has to go do it. You know, if I was just a normal showrunner, I would focus on those things I was telling you at the beginning, which is like story and direction and like working with the artist. But because we're an
That'd
indie
be too
show,
easy.
Yeah.
That'd be
yeah.
too easy, David.
I know. But because we're an indie show, it's like multiple things. And then because we're an indie show, if we got to check assets like today and there's nobody else available to do it, well, that's what I'm doing today.
my head would have exploded from all of that. Okay. I was going to talk to Al next, but instead I'm going to talk to you, Jason. Okay. You were the show's creator and serving as the art director. So where does that fit into the hierarchy of production for the series? I mean, so when a decision needs to be made about, you know, the look or their stories or whatever, is it a group discussion between you three, or does it the buck stop at one of you as far as making final decisions?
I think the buck stops at me when it comes to the look, but I think David and I would attest. I'm an extremely collaborative. That's just my process. I really like to be collaborative. So I push most things to them. And to be honest, it's been great because it's usually they're just like, that looks good. But sometimes, you know, there will be a no, and it usually from my experience, that equals it looks better. Like usually if there's a note, I find that if I go and I take their note and apply it, I like what comes out on the second draft. So I have no problem continuing to be like, oh, what do you guys think of this?
Well, so I know that, you know, of course, usually you're dealing in comics, and usually the best comics are the ones where they're closely collaborate with each other, as opposed to, you know, one person is in a box doing this and one person's in a box doing that. Okay, so you guys, you know, you talked about your voiceover talent, which, I mean, you got some top-notch people working on this, you know, Johnny Young Bosch, Christina V, James Arnold Taylor, Matt Lanter. How were you able to recruit such a high-profile voiceover cast, and what do you feel it brings to your series as far as making it legitimate to, you know, anime fans?
It's an interesting thing. I just went to him at a convention and was like, hey, you should help me with this. You should do some voiceover work for me. What do you think of this thing? And he was just like, actually, that's pretty cool, man. Like, and then we exchanged emails, and he did some work for me on it. And then nothing ended up, that project didn't launch. Like, we couldn't get it quite off the ground. I was actually working for someone else on that had hired me to do some designs for the characters, but I kept the connection to Johnny. And so when I was coming up with this idea for Gabriel early on, I mean, I can't remember, David, did I already have Johnny doing voice before you came in?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think I
there was something short. It was like something really short he had of his voice. Yeah.
So I emailed him. I sent him the same concept teaser that these guys saw, and I was like, "Hey, man, would you be interested in doing the voice for the main character on this?" I said, "No commitment, just like for this teaser to help me sell it." And he was basically like, he looked at it and he was like, "Actually, this is really cool. If I'm going to do this, like, I'd like to be like." Think about me for long term. And I was like, of course, obviously. And through him, he introduced us to Christina. And then Matt Lanter and James are interesting ones, because it was actually through me meeting the lead singer, Jarza Clay. I was having coffee with him, and he was interested about our project, and we were just talking about it, and he was like, you know, my neighbor does cartoon voices. And I was like, oh boy, how am I going to tell this guy that, like, everybody's neighbor does cartoon voices, man? But when he sent me his information, I looked him up, and I was like, oh, dude, this is the guy who played Obi-Wan Kenobi and I was like, okay, yeah, this is cool. So we reached out to him. we got the contact and we had a call with him, and he loved the concept. He loved the project. And then he introduced us to Matt, you know, because he worked with Matt on Clone Wars, because Matt plays Anakin. And they both liked the project and they both joined up. And so, I mean, it's really just, you know, like I just went to a school and talked about this a few weeks back. My wife set up this really cool kind of opportunity for me and go talk to a bunch of kids that are in like a summer school program. And, you know, I told him, I'm like, sometimes just ask, go for it. You never know. Like, just talk to the guy, you know, step up to the band. Do you want to meet somebody? Just do it. You know, like you said earlier, man, the worst that they can say is no. And what skin is that off my back? You know, if they say no, they say no, but they might say yes, you know?
I say, well, the whole thing to me, it takes a little bit of guts to, you know, just put yourself out there like that, which is pretty cool. Okay, so you recently teamed with Toons Media Group and Angel Studios in distribution of the series. So how did that partnership come about?
Well, Angel, we pitched to early on, was it last year? Or was it, no, it was the year before, right? Was it the year before? Man, this has been going on for such a time. I can't even remember the years in which we've done stuff.
And 2022 is when we submitted
to
them.
Yeah, and so then we got accepted in the beginning of 2023. So we went through some back and forths with them, got accepted by their guild, passed through their guild, and then that's when we basically started production in earnest back then. Pre-production, I should say, not production, but pre-production. And then Toons Media Group came through another owner of the company and one of our partners, Alice Dizon Manuel. She's our overseas supervisor as well. She lives in the Philippines, and she had a connection to Toons, and so she put us in touch with them. And they have a Bruno. I forgot what's Bruno's
Zarka.
Last name. Zarka, and he's the one that we talked about who did Naruto and Full Metal Alchemist. And so it's just been a great fit with him.
All right. Okay. So in other exciting news, you're coming to the upcoming Raleigh GalaxyCon, which runs from July 26th to 28th. And you have a panel on Sunday, you know, introducing Gabriel and the Guardians to, I'm sure, excited fans. So can you let our followers know what will be happening on that panel and what they can expect to see?
Yeah,
now it's going to be.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, David. For free.
David's going to be doing a dance up there. That's really cool. Interpretive dance.
That's what everyone's coming for.
They're going to be reviewing contracts on the stage.
Yeah, if you want to know how a contract is, should be
redlined.
So we're gonna be having a panel with Johnny and Christina V. We're doing a live voice session with them, where they're going to be actually voice acting to the animatic of the episode. And then we're going to have some other surprises to share. We're going to have some cool stuff that we haven't shared with anybody else that we're going to show. And it's, you know, more stuff on the show, designs. And then we're also going to have a short Ashcan manga comic that we've been working on. It's the first issue, everyone's gonna be a GalaxyCon exclusive. I think we got 500 copies we're bringing with us to GalaxyCon. And so that's another really cool thing we're gonna be having there. And yeah, we've got a lot of really cool content to show at the panel. And then of course, like, you know, Johnny and Christina are gonna be great. And I think they've done like three panels already. This will be their fourth one, Jason. it's going to be really fun. A lot of really fun stuff. We're definitely going to show a sneak peek from episode one. So there'll be that as well. So yeah.
All right. Yeah. Excellent. That's pretty much what I have for you, but I want to thank you guys for spending some time with me. But before we finish, I want you to, have you got an idea exactly when it will be, your show will be tentatively released at this point, or is it still too early?
December.
Yeah, we're looking at episode one for December. If things continue to go well, you know, production's a funny thing. But if not December, then for sure early 2025, like first quarter 2025. But we're hoping for December.
Yeah,
we're pushing hard.
Yeah, the goal is before Christmas right now. Yeah. But yeah, whenever you're working on an animated series, your first episode is always the most difficult to get out of the door because you have to set the style for everything. There's questions about everything because nobody's ever done this show before. And so it's always a challenge with the first episode.
Yeah. Well, we have to create every asset, right? So we have to do every single asset. And then next episode, hopefully we can reuse some of the assets. So it'll be a little bit less work, but right now every single thing has to be made.
Okay. Okay. So where can fans go to check up on, you know, follow updates from Colossal Studios? Do you have your web address for us?
You can follow us at GabrielandTheGuardians.com. So just the name of the show, GabrielandTheGuardians.com. We're most active on like Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. That's where all of our updates are going up right now. We'll have more updates soon. We are working on a new schedule to do more live streams, to do more content on our social, to give more behind the scenes stuff of the process of creating an animated series. So yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I want to thank you again, Jason, David, and Al, for talking to me. And we will be following Gabriel and the Guardians most intently and hope to talk to you again down the line.
Yes. Yeah,
thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to GVN Talking Comics. Please come back again. GVN Talking Comics is a production of Geek Vibes Nation.